When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for the True Sports Card Show.
The only one-hour radio show that gives you the very latest in sports memorabilia news from around the world.
Here are your hosts, industry expert Imran Palladi and Sactown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso.
Good morning, everybody. It's Imran Palladi, True Sports Cards. And I want to make sure that my mic is working correctly, is it?
You're good, I hear you.
Boy, it's so strange. I'm so used to podcasting to where we can kind of cut this out. Fifth show ever. I'm here with Emil Fragoso, my co-host.
Only five? It feels like an eternity already.
Thanks, man. It's awesome to say that. It feels like way, way longer than that. Good morning, everyone. Come and join us on YouTube if you want to join the chat. If you want to say what's up, contact us, have conversations with us. It'll be great. Emil, welcome in this morning. I know that we have had busy weeks.
Yeah.
I know that you just did your show last night for the 49ers, the Empire show, and quite the audience last night.
Yeah, we had a good amount of people on. Nate said it wasn't hit one of his best shows. I thought we had a great show, though, so I got to give props to Nate and props to Kyle Ledbetter as well, the ones and twos.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, like, does it hurt when you're patting yourself on your back from stretching?
I never get tired of it. Actually, it's a real relaxing stretch.
I see on the back of all your shirts, there's a big, like, it's like worn right there.
Yeah.
It's like, and just a pat mark.
Yeah, yeah, that one, NASA logo is looking a little flat.
One big-ass hand mark.
And what's crazy is that they're wondering, in the chat, they're wondering why you're wearing a Raiders beanie right now.
Because I'm actually a Raiders fan. It's like an actual thing.
Poor guy.
We can't edit this.
We can't. Look, I cover the 49ers. I hope the 49ers succeed. At the end of the day, I grew up a Raiders fan for a reason. Yeah. I went through Jamarcus Russell. I went through all the crap over the years. It's hard to quit the Raiders, even though they give me a lot of chances to.
But we spent way too much time talking about Raiders already, so
yeah,
let's just move on.
Well,
just to give you a heads up, we've got a couple things happening over the next couple weeks. I'm excited about our guest that we're going to be talking with today,
yeah.
James Spence.
Ooh.
From James Spence Authentication will be joining us in just a minute. He's in the waiting room ready to join us. We'll be talking to him just on the other side of the break. But really quickly, a couple things. Number one, I want to talk about the Auburn Card Show, which is not going to be held in Auburn. It's going to be held in Loomis, California.
My backyard.
At the Blue Goose Event Center. That's going to be December 16th, which is not this Saturday, but two Saturdays from today, starting at 10 a.m., ending at 5 p.m. It's going to be actually Juan is the guy that's been putting on these shows in Auburn for quite some time, a couple years now,
yeah.
And he's done a great job.
Great
and
dude.
I'm really excited that we at True Sports Cards are going to be set up there at the Loomis area for the Blue Goose Event Center's Auburn Card Show. Again, that's 10 to 5 p.m. And then at 5:30, they're going to be having their trade night falling directly behind that. So for those of you that are interested in the next card show, it is on its way just 2 weeks from today, and we hope to see you there. Secondly, we had a new release this week as far as product, and that is 2023 Donruss Football.
Big one.
And that's one of the core products that come out every year. It's one of the, I would describe it as low to middle tier. Nothing that's really expensive. Emil, I know you have the stats on that one.
I do, yes. It's a configuration. It's 18 packs per box, 10 cards per pack, and the box breakdown is one auto, one memorabilia card, 18 rated rookies, 12 parallels, 42 inserts, one base rookie, and then five base rookie test parallels.
The one chase in here that everybody's looking for is the downtown parallel. One of the most popular parallels that you can find. They are not numbered, but everybody does still chase them. And we did a divisional break the night that we were able to release. We did a break on Instagram for us as a company. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a downtown for each division minimally. So NFC West had one. AFC West had one. So each one of the divisions has a downtown represented in them. Right now we have it on our shelf at $239 a box plus tax. However, I will tell you that other companies like Blowout Cards have it already at 275. This product will go up.
Yeah,
well, I'm just letting you all know.
Yep.
So our initial release of this product at 239 a box is going to go up probably next week. So if you get a chance, come by the shop at 6661 Stanford Branch Road here in Rockland, California, and come by and say hi and pick up a box before the price goes up, because I already see the repurchasing price for us as dealers and hobby shops, and it's already increasing. It's actually pretty darn close to the retail rate right now. So just want to make sure that we pay attention to that. All right, with that said, we have a really great guest and somebody that I've known for about 10 years now. We're going to take a quick break, and on the other side of the break, we're going to meet James Spence of James Spence Authentication. Looking forward to a long conversation about him with autographs, authentication, and everything in between. We're looking forward to hearing from you as well. You can call the show here at 916-339-1140. You could text 916-339-1140 or message us on YouTube, and we'd love to talk to you.
Absolutely.
So at the end of this break, please join us. James Spence joining us right after this break here at the True Sports Card Show here on Sactown Sports 1140. Welcome back to the True Sports Card Show here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm here not only with Emil, our co-host, but we're here with the man, the myth, the legend. It's James Spence Jr. Jimmy, how are you?
Emran, how are you, my friend?
Doing great. I can see you. Can you see me?
Very well.
Well, you're looking great. Where are you right now? You back in New Jersey?
I'm actually, there's no rest for the weary. I'm in my office right now doing some work.
Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon for you, 3 hours difference. I'm so happy that you were able to join us, and I'm thrilled to have you on board. People were actually surprised to be able to have you join our show, not because you wouldn't do it, but the fact that you're so busy that getting you and booking this was really important for me, and I'm so happy. So thanks for being part of what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. Let's start from
my
the
pleasure.
Beginning, if you don't mind. Well, first of all, we have known each other for about 10 years, and my background, not only growing up collecting cards, but I've been pretty heavy into the autograph world over the last 20 years. We met 10-ish years ago based on the fact that I've been working alongside your sister, Karen, who has done a lot of my autograph authentication witnesses. So she's been physically in the room when I have had autograph people working with me, athletes that I've been working with. And Karen has done an incredible job. Still work with her today. She's going to be doing some stuff for us just later this month. We do have an authentication event that we're having at our store where we're going to have drop-offs, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. But you and I met, and one of the things that I absolutely loved about you was your ability to meet with not only me, but the general public. There's a lot of people who have a name on the door, name on the title, name on the business that are just too big to spend time with the rest of us. And you've never done that. You show up to events, you're at shows, you're making sure that you shake hands and meet the people. Generally, that we'll talk about your authentication services, but where did that level of service come from you? And where did you get that from? Because like you said, you are boots on the ground working every day as well. Whereas a lot of people in a company your size tend to just offset and offload a lot of that.
Well, I grew up in this industry. I mean, my grandfather, who actually I have a picture of him back there on my safe. He was a major autograph collector back in the 1930s and 40s. So I never knew any differently. I attended many events where there were celebrity signing as a youth. I collected through the mail. I also, you know, attended many shows. I became a dealer in the 1980s. I sold autographs for some 20 years before I actually started authenticating. And, you know, based on, knowing so many people in the industry, creating so many different alliances, knowing the auction houses, the dealers, the collectors. I mean, I grew up in this hobby. This is my hobby as well. I do not do this just for a living. I have a substantial collection. I still get excited about getting items. So I don't see why I would want to, divide myself from it and just sit in some ivory tower. I mean, unfortunately, I can't go to many shows. In fact, right after this show, I'm actually going to the Philly show where my guys are working down there, and I haven't been down there for a while, so I'm looking to say hello to a lot of old friends.
I love it. And, love it. You know, I've built relationship with Joe Drelich, who is obviously somebody that runs the Philly show and eventually is about to take mm-hmm. over the National. I think he's taking over next year, in fact. Him
Correct.
And his team.
Yes,
and
along so, with two other guys, yeah.
I definitely am going to work to get Joe on the show as well. We've worked together many a times in addition to that. So, Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about your collecting nature of what you said that you collect. I know it. I was telling Emil ahead of time before the show that you are a presidential check collector, if I remember correctly. Like, you collect checks or cancel checks of former presidents. Is that correct? As well as Joe Namath.
Well, yes, I do collect canceled checks of presidents. In fact, I think I need 10 more in my collection, which, you know, they're few and far between. I probably put one into my collection every 1 or 2 years. It's gotten that difficult. And it's not necessarily because of the price. It's just you can't find them, and some don't even exist. But I don't limit myself just to presidential checks. I have just a who's who of anybody in check form. I enjoy collecting checks. I've been doing it for many decades. You know, I have a very substantial Major League Baseball Hall of Fame collection, football Hall of Fame, different entertainment, scientists, writers. You know, I've got Bruce Lee. I've got Harry Houdini and Buffalo Bill Cody. I mean, you know, all over the place. So I really enjoy collecting checks. And it's become more and more popular over the years, and I've seen the prices rise because of that.
The rarest check that you own?
Ooh, rarity. Now, sometimes, well, I have a couple of checks that are probably, there's only one or two in existence. I mean, I have a Millard Fillmore check. He was a president of the United States. I think he was number 13. He's a very, very rare check. I know of one other in existence. I have some that a Bud Abbott. I mean, you see tons of Lou Costello checks out there. I happen to have a Bud Abbott. The only one
Abbott and Costello seen. Fame, yeah. Right?
There you go. Right.
Well, let's,
so it's all over the place.
All right. So you were a dealer. You collected. You sold. You did all that. What led you to? I know that you worked at a company prior to starting JSA. What led you to say, you know what, I really like to spend some time on the authentication side. Maybe I can create this to be a career path for me. When did that start? What was the origin stories of that?
Well, it really evolved. What happened is, as a dealer, I started noticing that a lot of the autographs that were in the room, at the time, that's how you sold autographs, were at conventions. I mean, there was no eBay. And I started noticing that, you know, people were selling and telling tall stories about how they got them. And there were a lot of illegitimate autographs. And it was frustrating to me because I knew what I had was valid. And yet somebody was underselling me at maybe a table or two down from me. And it was hard to compete at that point. You know, if you're selling a Mickey Mantle ball at the time for $200 and someone's selling one for $90, that's not legitimate. And if the person believed them and bought it, you know, you lost a sale in effect. So people had recognized, you know, that I did have some expertise, that I knew what I was talking about. And they actually came to me starting to ask me to write letters of authenticity. So I created it. And when I started doing that, some of the auction house caught on. One in particular, Bill Mastro of Mastro Fine Sports Auctions. And he hired me to authenticate his entire catalog at the time. And it caught on. As soon as my name appeared there, the other auction houses wanted me to authenticate. And then, interestingly enough, I was at a show down in Philly, and I was approached by someone. I did not know who it was. And they said, I'd like you to attend a meeting tonight. I'm interested in speaking to you. And, you know, here's my card. So I said, fine, I have some time. And I went to the meeting, and people came running over to my booth as soon as, you know, he saw the man leave. And they said, what did David Hall want with you? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, that was David Hall. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't know who that was. But he evidently was the top coin grader in the industry. And he was interested in starting an authentication service. He had already started PSA. and he wanted to start up PSA DNA. And he spoke to me, and one thing led to another, and Collectors Universe, which it became, they ended up buying my company, buying my authentication rights. And for 6 years, I authenticated and started up that business for them.
So PSA DNA, the infancy of it started with you and a team.
Wow.
At that moment. What year was that?
Well, that was 1999. They asked me to put together other gentlemen that I felt had a strong knowledge in the industry as far as authentication. And I did. I picked three other people. And the problem was, initially, the very first year we were doing this, we would have to travel to California, and many of us lived here on the East Coast, and it became, it wasn't efficient enough. So I convinced David Hall, I said, listen, I live in Orangeburg, Pennsylvania. You've probably never been there, but why not let me run the show from there and do all the authentication? The turnaround time will be better. It'll just make people a lot happier, especially dealers that had to get back, you know, into their inventory and sell. So that's what I did. And it caught on, and I started hiring other people. And it got to the point where I couldn't sell. I had no time to sell autographs. And then I started thinking about it. You know, it probably wasn't a bad idea that I didn't sell autographs.
Conflict of interest, potentially.
I didn't want that. And quite honestly, to this day, especially since I started JSA some 18 years ago, I haven't sold any autographs in the last 18 years. I've bought many autographs that have gone into my collection, but I've just decided that I did not want to sell autographs and have anybody point a finger of conflict in my direction.
Besides real estate, besides sports cards and memorabilia, I've had a 20-year real estate career. And one thing that I've always noticed is as agents get good at what they do, they go, you know what, I think I'm going to open my own brokerage now. And then they stumble and go, whoa, this is a lot harder than I thought. Here you are, you're working for PSA DNA. You're at the time leading this charge. It's a new creation of a division. And then you go, it's time for me to JSA myself. What was the catalyst to start that new business? And you know, why was it that time for you to go out on your own?
Well, quite honestly, I was happy at PSA DNA. They treated me well. I was getting paid well. But they wanted to move the administration back to California. And I'm somewhat of a control freak, and I wanted to, you know, manage it and be able to control what was going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody approached me and said, listen, there's nothing wrong. Your contract is ending. You don't have a non-compete in front of you. So why don't you just start up a your own company? He goes, and he became my partner of nine years. And I started JSA immediately after my contract had lapsed with Collectors Universe. And from day one, JSA was a success. I mean, I remember the very first day I was down at the Philly show. And it was May 1st of 2005, and we were busy from the onset. So I've been busy ever since then. And fortunately, the company is so strong right now. We the hardest thing is to get the product out, not get the product in. We're just constantly trying to find good people so we could train them to be authenticators. And I'm always hiring.
Yep. And I'm sure that you probably look at the industry as one. Well, there's competition everywhere in every format, whether it's a hobby shop, whether it's real estate, whether it's an authentication company, there's always competition. Jimmy, tell me a little bit about the stats that your company has that you're very proud of on a national level or even worldly now. I know that you're doing some stuff in other countries in some cases. What does JSA look like as it sits at the moment?
Well, we have the largest exemplar file, and what that is are specimens of autographs, and they've all been handpicked. I spend every day, I probably put 200 to 300 exemplars into our file, which gives our authenticators a toolbox to work with while they're out on the road. I mean, obviously anything of any value, my son Jimbo, who has our office down in the Fort Lauderdale area, and myself up here in Parsippany, we see every item, especially over $200, before it gets a letter of authenticity. So the exemplar file is basically like my fourth child. I just love to constantly increase it and constantly manicure it, as I would call it. and make it better and better. And every day there are new celebrities that come along, so we have to keep on top of that. Every day we learn more and more about auto pens and facsimiles and stamps and everything, you know, secretarial autographs. So we have to keep on top of that. In addition to that, you know, I've written many articles over the years, published a book some 15 years ago. We have a very great staff of authenticators, all homegrown. I mean, I've never once hired an authenticator. All along the way, we've trained everybody from within. And if you look at some of my competitors, many of those people were trained by me along the way as well. Mm-hmm. I've, you know, one of the nice things that's, or two things that are extremely nice that happened to me over the last 4 years. In 2009, I was the first autograph person in our industry to get selected to go into the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
As I said, 2009, I meant 2019. And just this past year at the National Convention, I was given another Hall of Fame award as well. So, you know, I'm very proud of that. And I must say that, you know, it really is a team effort. My staff has helped me get those awards along the way.
Emil's been watching the chat. One of the things that Emil has been, he's definitely in the cards, but admittedly, yeah, autographs is not something that you've spent too much time doing.
No, it isn't. It's what I want to get more into. Actually, I was talking to my dad actually, and he was like, "I want to get this Jerry Rice autograph, but it's not authenticated. I'm not sure if it's real." And so I have to ask, why is it so important to get memorabilia and stuff like that authenticated? Just because to make sure of legitimacy, or is there other reasons as well?
Well, you need to have a sense of comfort, and you want to know that down the road that it will be marketable. Mm-hmm. That's real important, because you could buy something and you could talk yourself into liking it and swearing that it's real. And, you know, I got it from a great source and I bought it from an old guy who got it in person. Mm-hmm. But if it's not properly authenticated, it's going to narrow the interest in it down the road. So if you put it up, say, on eBay and it didn't have any authentication, it would sell for a lot less money. Why? Because people search eBay for, say, autograph. Mm-hmm. They'll use a keyword and they'll say JSA right after it. If you went onto eBay right now, and I believe there's something like 300 to 350,000 autographs that are authenticated any given day by JSA.
Wow.
On eBay. And by the way, none of those are being sold by our company. That's all what's out there. That's really in the population. That's dealers, collectors, people that have found things in their attic. That's all you know, done over the last 18 years. We've mm-hmm. created that, and our competition, we've put ourselves in front of them. We authenticate mm-hmm. for more auction houses, more dealers. I mean, this is all we do, is authenticate autographs.
Stepping back, Jimmy, so I know that there's specific language. It's very careful when I tell people, our in-house, when people say, "Who do you use?" I have always said JSA for lots of reasons. Our relationship being one of them, your reputation and the company's reputation being one of them, our ability to work together, really important to me. So I only have three that go out there, you being one of the three. There are companies like TriStar or Fanatics that do their autographs in-house, and then they'll put their sticker on there. So they're saying, as an example, TriStar has Griffey, I believe, as their exclusive. And so when they do a Griffey signing, they'll put a TriStar sticker on there with their authentication, mm-hmm. and they call it mm-hmm. what it is. As more and more – actually, you know what? I'm going to skip that question just for a second, because I want to kind of background this. Though, when somebody sees it from a representative from your company, like, for example, Karen for JSA, when she physically sees it, there's a specific authentication sticker that she puts on there. It's called a witness or witness protection program, mm-hmm. saying, "I literally saw that athlete sign that item. I'm good to go." Then there's ones that are saying that we believe that this is genuine. I want to be real specific about this, because people say, "Is it real? Is it fake? Is JSA telling me if it's real or if it's fake?" But those are not the language words that we want to use, correct? We want to say likely genuine or likely not genuine. Am I wrong or right about this, or which direction would you call it when you're saying the authentication process happens to say it's going to get a sticker and authentication or not?
Well, interesting. I mean, we have a couple of different divisions in our industry, in my company, and the witness that my sister does, actually my sister Karen and my sister Kathy in St. Louis, as well as I have nephews that have done this work and many, many other trusted souls. They are witnessing the item. They're not, it's not opinion based. They have seen the celebrity, the athlete sign the item. We are guaranteeing that that is indeed their autograph. I mean, if we were to come late to a signing, okay, God forbid, but if we were to come late to a signing and say Carlton Fisk signed 50 pieces before we walked in the door, we, our authenticators are not permitted to put a witness sticker on that because we did not see it. They would have to send a sampling, not just a sampling, but, you know, the entire run over to one of our authenticators, and then they are allowed to put a basic cert on, which is an opinion. And that's basically what I do is opinion work. You know, if there's a George Washington or a James Dean or a Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, Mickey Mantle, something that was not seen in the presence of a JSA authenticator, we are, myself and probably about 14, 15 other authenticators in my company, we actually will issue it a letter of authenticity. So there is a difference between those two services. I cannot spend the time sitting with a celebrity watching him sign autographs. Okay, that wouldn't be a good use of my time, nor would it be that for, say, those other 14 authenticators. That's why we have people such as Karen that can, they're trusted souls, they're obliged to sticker things, to upload it into our system so that it can be viewed by anyone that wants to. That's very important to go through that distinction. And we also have, you know, our basic cert cards, which are for the lesser valued items, but anything virtually that has a $200 value or more must get a full letter of authenticity.
Now, I've made a decision as a company at my store to not put anything out there that hasn't been authenticated already, but I'm going to submit anything that is not authenticated that I've purchased or acquired through your company. It's just kind of how we do things. I literally have a backlog of hundreds of items per month waiting for authentication to come through. For everybody that's listening right now, I want to let you know that we're having a drop-off authentication service that JSA will be doing the authentication for us on the 20th, meaning don't bring your stuff the day of the 20th and wait for it to get done. We're going to have it done after hours, but JSA will be there to authenticate so we can have some stuff for you right before Christmas. We'll go more into detail after our interview with Jimmy. But again, that clarification, James, just to make sure, it's likely authentic or genuine versus real versus fake, correct? I just want to make sure that people hear that because they come back to me and they say, Emran, if it didn't pass, does that mean it's fake? Is I tell them the authenticator that reviewed this feels that it's likely not genuine.
Well, there are certain cases where we could use that F word, you know, the fake word. Mm-hmm. And that is when the item itself was produced after the person had already passed. I mean, then that's not a matter of opinion.
A Rob
anymore.
Manfield a baseball with a Babe Ruth autograph on it, right?
There you go. So yeah. Something like that is a no-brainer. And believe me, we get those things in all the time, items that come, people that just don't know when something. And some of it is not marked with a copyright date. It may just be from our database of knowledge that that item was indeed produced after the fact. So that's the only time we generally will say something is outright a fake. However, what you were saying before, if there are things that in our opinion, and we have a strong opinion one way or another, either they pass, fail, we do reserve one other way of doing the authentication, and that would be going inconclusive. It happens for a very small percentage of the items, but when, you know, it goes around the entire staff, we're able to like send high resolution images and they're able to opine on it individually. When we cannot make heads or tails or not decide on something being either authentic or non-authentic, we will indeed go inconclusive. So we do have that option.
I know for a fact what walks in my door, I basically have at least one autograph item come into my store every day. And my team has been great about saying, you know what, Emran, can you tell me, do we want it, do we not want it? They'll reach out to me. I'm the expert when it comes to the autographs. And for the most part, after 20 years of doing this and knowing likely versus not likely, I can tell in most cases. When it comes to, and then I'll take the chance and say, look, I'm willing to purchase this knowing that it's my risk as soon as it comes into my possession. So when JSA does do the authentication of this, it may pass, it may not. I'm pretty fortunate that I have a pretty successful track record. I do have my misses every once in a while. And then when it's pointed out to me as to why it failed, I'm understanding of it. It does make sense to me. And then I'm better and sharper for the next time that it comes through. The other option I give my walk-ins is, hey, listen, we may have an event or you may want to send it to JSA directly. And then when it comes back, then it's definitive. I'll for sure purchase from you for resale purposes. That, no issues there. But I have lots of fakes that do come in. I catch it right away. And they're saying, well, what do you know? You know, to me, you're not an authenticator. It's like, well, I'm the guy that would be spending the money, and I'm only spending the money if I believe that it's going to be likely something that would pass, because it would never go on my wall for sale without some sort of third-party authentication that I really trust, that I could stand behind. And I get a lot of these stories. I get a lot of the, well, you don't understand. My grandpa did this thing with a team and a long time ago, and he handed it to me, so it's definitely real. Like, I tell people, okay, so I'm supposed to tell the next customer, no, don't worry. Kyle, who sold it to me 3 weeks ago, told me that his grandpa got it, so we're good, right? Like, that's not a letter of authenticity or any kind of chain of provenance to say that it's real and ready to go. So when people walk in the door and they have this expectation, I have to kind of sometimes be a bearer of bad news, etc. What I see the most faked that come into my store, and maybe you can confirm on these, maybe on a general level, Willie Mays is one of the top ones here locally, here in Northern California, that I get that are fakes. You and I both know, we don't need to say it on radio, as to what it is as far as the type of Willie Mays signature that I see that's fake. I can tell usually right from the 1 second after I see it, I know it's fake. Mickey Mantle, big faker that comes into our store, particularly toned baseballs. Joe DiMaggio, Joe Montana, and I'm trying to think the third one, Mark McGuire, surprisingly enough. Those seem to be our top five. On a national level, on what you see on a regular basis, what are some of the top faked ones that you find out there?
Okay. Ali, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Manny Williams, DiMaggio come to mind real quickly. Yes, McGuire, Sosa were heavily forged at one time. It slowed down quite a bit because the interest has not been as strong as it was back in the 90s. But it's people think that sometimes just because an autograph doesn't have a great value, that it's safe from being a forgery or a secretarial. But there's all different reasons why something was forged. I mean, sometimes, you know, if a wife signs for her husband, it's a forgery. You could, you know, try and euphemize it whatever way you want, but it's not real. It's not valid. It's not going to sell for the same amount of money. And Willie Mays for decades had his wife or other secretarial autographs out in the marketplace. And what happens is a lot of the people that collect this stuff, they put it into their collection. They don't bother getting it authenticated. And for years, they believe that it's valid.
It's been sitting on a mantle for 30 years, right? So it must be good. It seasons into authentication.
Yeah, and you could talk yourself into it, you know, being valid just by staring at it all the time and worshiping it. But when you go to sell it, you know, and you can't sell it because it won't get a letter of authenticity from a respected third-party authenticator, then it's not going to have any value. I don't care how much time you put into thinking it was valid. It's and you know, you mentioned you know, some fine companies before, you know, such as TriStar, for example, and you know, in the past Steiner or even Upper Deck, for example. You know, those people had a lot of all those type of companies. They've witnessed a lot of signings, and for the most part, you know, they've got a lot of valid product out there. But really, there's no one inside of each one of those companies that has the expertise to tell you why it was good or why it fails. They're not authenticators. They virtually have cornered the witnessing. And Fanatics is, you know, I guess the more recent example of that. So we, you know, could could define that. We can explain that, why or why it did not pass. And I think that's the important value that we give to an organization. You have to understand, the people that work for me have been chasers, collectors. They study this as a passion. I used to call them show rats. The guys, I was a show rat at one time, you know, going to from show to show, pouring through tons of autographs, looking through, trying to find that, you know, that little truffle, that nugget that was going to be valuable. Or now they are virtually eBay rats. You know, there still are shows, but, you know, eBay is being scoured, you know, for those same type of mistakes, if you will, you know, so somebody could buy something for a good price and sell it for a, you know, an even better price for a profit. So, you know, there is a difference in the authentication perception of what different companies have to offer.
One of the biggest differences that I've noticed between cards and authentic autographs is the comparable value. When you have a card, it has closed eBay, closed stats, sales, mm-hmm. and this card is this Michael Jordan PSA 8 rookie card, 86 Fleer, is selling between this and this, and it's a real tight margin. However, in collectibles and authentic autographs, it tends not to have a direct comp. Sometimes we might find an item, let's just say, I'll give you an example. I have a Tyreek Hill autographed jersey, custom jersey, in my store for sale for $129. And then we have an authentic version of that for $349. It's not a comparable, because people go, well, I can get that jersey over here for $129, and how come you're charging $349? Well, it's a different jersey. It's a different item. The pen stroke signature is different. It's bolder. It may have an inscription. It may have – there's so many other factors. When you were dealing – and you deal with a lot of dealers now that are selling autographs. Mm-hmm. Do you notice the same thing to where autographs vary? Because I could tell you that – not all autographs are the same, no matter if the item is similar. You know, exact. It's not the exact.
That's interesting, because it's highly, highly subjective. And people, I mean, years ago, they said, Jimmy, we want you to put together a price list. And I, you know, said, yeah, let's do it.
Almost like an old Beckett type of thing, where you'd look up the price of
it. Yeah, and I started doing it, and I started realizing just how subjective it really was. If a person signed a short stroke of his name, maybe his first initial and his last name, or he signed his full name, or he put an inscription at the bottom of it, or if it was on a baseball, was it on an American or National League, or was it on a Sears, or, you know, some type of a non official baseball, or, you know, and the strength of the autograph, the positioning, there was so much more of an aesthetic value to certain ones over others. And it went on and on and on. And then you just realize that, you know, this is somewhat of a waste of time, because you really can't define it unless it's, you know, and even index cards have, you know, different feel. You know, is it on the line side? Is it a browned index card? Is it a government postcard? So there's way too many variables. I find that the card market, like the coin market, are much easier to define and be able to throw a grade on something, as well as create a value. And you're right, there are tighter margins when it comes to that, because, you know, you can use comparables, and it's very difficult to do that with autographs, unless you're, you know, comparing apples to apples, and it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, I have a question as well, because I've been browsing through your Instagram, and I've seen a lot of your, you know, obviously Comic-Con and other cons and collectibles. I'm seeing a lot more of like Funko Pops and, you know, memorabilia and collectibles like Star Wars. What have you seen risen more in your submissions the last couple of years since, I guess, COVID, since the big boom in collectibles?
Here is a very interesting fact about JSA, and I don't know how many people know this. But I did not know up until about 7, maybe 8 years ago what a Funko Pop was. I had no idea. Okay, I'm not, I didn't really collect a lot of modern entertainment, so I really didn't know what it was. But I noticed that my son was very interested in it. My son Ryan, who's my middle son, and he's our advertising and marketing director. Mm-hmm. Well, come to find out, both of my sons came to me maybe about a year and a half ago and said, Dad, do you realize that we authenticate more signatures on Funko Pops than we do baseballs now?
Wow.
And I was flabbergasted that, they made me aware that when we do so many witness authentications, and we're in somebody's city mm-hmm. every day of the week, and yeah. it doesn't even have to be in the United States. I mean, we've been over in Bahrain and Kuwait and up in Canada, down in South America, Central America. We were just in Mexico last week. I mean, we're all over the place. And a lot of the people outside of this country and the people here in the United States, they love these Funko Pop dolls mm-hmm. and they make them for anybody that was mildly famous.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the three of us don't have, you know, it's just, and we could get one if we wanted, but mm-hmm. the point that I'm making is it's just a bigger phenomenon than Beanie Babies or Pogs ever were.
Wow.
You know, it has a lot of staying power. People, you know, and they just keep making them. I mean, whoever, you know, designed that, it was brilliant. And it's not for me. Understand, I have in my office here, I probably have six or seven of them that were just given to me. You know, it's not, you know, my type of collectible. But the point that I'm making is it's extremely popular. It's a caricature of someone mm-hmm. and people really eat it up. They love it. And there's, you know, obviously, if somebody dies, the increase in value, or there are certain ones that are rarer than others. And it's really, you know, certainly revolutionized how we do business. I mean, I wasn't very fond of going to Comic-Cons, you know, years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember 15, 20 years ago, I'd sit there and, you know, it was like people were coming to kick a tire. Now there's lines wrapped around the block.
Yeah.
You know, Jimbo, my son, you know, he went out to the Middle East and he said that he left so much business on the table because he had to grab his flight to get back. He was out there for 10 days. He just couldn't do it any faster. There were people like running after him, like they were, you know,
like he was the celebrity.
They were trying to escape Afghanistan or something. It was like nutty the way that it was like, I couldn't believe. And I saw pictures of it and I was like, oh my Lord. I mean, you don't see that at a card show. Yeah. And just even if you went to a Comic-Con, and I went to one, you know, several years ago, because I'm very often cooped up inside my office, but I just couldn't believe the parade of people. It was like Halloween indoors and it was so tight, and trying to walk down the aisle just to go to the restroom. You can't do it. I mean, it's just like, there's so many more people. The interest is even greater than it is in sports.
What as we come up with about 10 minutes left in our interview, and thank you so much for your time, Jimmy, we mm-hmm. appreciate it.
Let's
talk about this takeover in the sense of the Fanatics world.
Yeah.
They are coming in and going to have the licensing for baseball, football, and basketball here in the next couple of years. They've already kind mm-hmm. of stepped into the baseball side because they took over Topps, they purchased Topps, and now they've been making that product. Recently on the Bill Simmons podcast, Michael Rubin stepped in and did an interview talking about the three levels of their business, which is the sports gambling, the actual trading card industry, as well as the merchandise and apparel. And on the trading card industry, he didn't really go too much into it, but there's autographs and that layer of exclusivity of players. Mm-hmm. About last year, I believe Montana went exclusive with Fanatics, and you start seeing these costs of these athletes and the autographs recently. And I don't know if anybody knows this, but John Stockton is one of the most difficult autographs out there to be able to get. Mm-hmm. I fortunately, before he passed away, Mark Eaton and I built a great friendship. We were both speakers and we met each other in an event. I hung out with Mark Eaton before he untimely passed last year. And Mark told me the story about how he, for his family, wanted to get some autographs of his teammate, John Stockton. Hey, can you sign a couple of these for my family members? This is a starting mm-hmm. point guard to the starting center. And he goes, I'll take any picture you want with him, but I'm just not going to sign any autographs. This is to his own teammate's wow. family. And just yesterday or 2 days ago, there was an announcement that John Stockton's going to be doing a private autograph signing. And the price will start at $399 per autograph for a single card. Anything under, you know, 16 by 20 is going to be $399. And people's hearts are stopping. They cannot believe this. Mike Trout, $549 an autograph for a basic. Aaron Rodgers, $499 for a card. As these costs continue to climb, where is the autograph industry headed for the average consumer that's going to be saying, I'm priced out of this stuff. Where can I find these autographs? Because the only place that I could think that they could find them is through trading cards that they're pulling out of packs at this point, because there's an agreement with Panini or an agreement with Fanatics or agreement, and they're placing it in there. Where will this finally hit its point to where the consumer says, I can't do this anymore?
That's what will dictate the market, though, obviously. You know what's very interesting about that? Well, I heard you say that. Now, obviously, John Stockton must honor his contract then with Fanatics. Is that the one that you said that was
Panini is who he signs with? For. He
oh, has Panini. For. Okay.
But well, this is an independent submit your item signing.
Okay. Well, he's honoring his contract, and it also makes it a gracious way of saying I can't sign anything beyond what I'm doing for you. However, there are athletes that sign these exclusive contracts, and on the side, they're signing multiple private signings without the knowledge of the person that they signed the contract with. Ooh. And I have been approached over the phone in person by some of the people in the past that have had contracts with these people and says, hey, we noticed that JSA authenticated 400 pieces, and that's our guy, and we had him under contract. And I was like, first of all, how does JSA know for sure that you have a contract? I mean, what am I, the sheriff in town or something? I said, you know, and I tell the people, I said, listen, you know, you're getting into a business deal with someone, and they have to honor the contract. I can't police this. It's not my job to. I don't know when your contract starts, ends, or what the individual provisions are of that contract. I mean, you need to control your client. But the money on the side, and they're paying them cash or whatever they're doing, you know, they're signing, you know, in secrecy. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the stuff ends up coming to us. And it might be 10 autographs at a time, 100 autographs at a time, but I shake my head when I'm saying, hey, you need to control your client, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's impossible because the money is too tempting for these guys. And, you know, they're doing it under the table.
You know, I represent three athletes exclusively, Artis Gilmore, Dan Issel, and Alex English. And when I have an opportunity, they always pass it to me. And I make sure that I don't leave opportunities on the outside and say, no, you can't do that. I always encourage it because I have a guarantee of what I'm going to be bringing them business-wise for the year. And I say, we're just going to incorporate mm-hmm. that particular deal into this so that way I have a less of a burden that I have to put as a guarantee. So I always work it in there. But some people are like, nope, my guy, that's it, period, end of story. And that's up to them, however they want to run their business.
Yeah.
I just feel like when it comes down to these opportunities to where you're able to get the athlete to sign something and the cost being so high, as we described before. I mean, I was just looking at the John Stockton signing. You want something with a Dream Team already on it? $899, right? $899 for a living person that is going to sign an autograph. And anybody can charge anything. I mean, it's up to them as to what they're willing to charge. I think it comes down to it to where the people say, I'd rather just not have the item. Now, I've had plenty of signings. For example, when I had the Walt Frazier signing. I had the last Elgin Baylor signing before he passed away. I had Jerry West. I have Jerry West signing that I just did a couple of months ago. These are all athletes that I work with exclusively in a private setting. It's not really public. But a lot of these items, when they come in, they're missing particular players. For example, the NBA Top 50 always seems to be missing Patrick Ewing, always seems to be missing, obviously, Maravich had passed away prior to that thing coming out, but no Stockton. So it's pretty prevalent as to who will sign and who won't sign. As we get closer and closer to the Fanatics takeover and how it's going to come into play, are you seeing yourself as JSA finding yourself limited now, seeing more limitations in authentication of these athletes as they move into exclusivity because Fanatics or another company wants to use their own? Or do you still find secondary authentication important to where they're not only the Fanatics sticker, but they also want a JSA sticker? Because that's as a business model, you have to look at it and say, is there a potential where I'm losing some revenue as a company based on the fact that these companies are individually authenticating their own items?
We have many, many clients that regardless of whose sticker is on there, whether it's Upper Deck or whether it's Green Diamond back in the Ted Williams days or Steiner or whatever, they insist upon getting our authentication. They want it. It's very flattering to us that we're putting our sticker, you know, next to one of those. But people want consistency in their collection. They have faith in us. We haven't let them down. We want, you know, we have not been involved in any scandalous affairs. I mean, this is very important to, you know, what I've built here. I mean, we've built a huge brand and, you know, we have just been in the autographs. I mean, can we expand beyond that? Probably. Will we? Yes. But I could tell you, we got our hands full with autographs. And when I see all those other stickers coming in and a lot of people, they just want it, you know, and I'm happy to see it. I mean, it's great. And this is another thing. Not all the time does the item pass our authentication, even though it has those stickers on it. That would be very enlightening to most people, you know, because things, sometimes stickers walk out the back door, you know, somebody with a wink and a nod, there's all kinds. And not only that, there's counterfeit as well. So there's so much distrust, and justifiably so, because thieves are very smart individuals. The forgers are getting better and better. Mm-hmm. They're starting to do laser printing on baseballs and, you know, all different things to, you know, trick and make a buck. You know, there's value involved. There's a profit here. So, you know, we have to keep on our toes. And I'm not saying we're perfect. We've made mistakes along the way. Fortunately, they're few and far between. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's a hard horse pill to swallow, but we do it. And a lot of times we're the ones that realize we made the mistake. So we have to like bring it to the attention of, you know, and take care of things in a reasonable way. You know, that's very important to our reputation.
Jimmy, you are supposed to be at the Philly Card Show by now. We appreciate this has gone 20 minutes more than I was anticipating, which is exciting for us to be able to have you as a part of what we've done today. I thank you so much for being able to be a part of today's show. And SpenceLOA.com is where you want to go to find out more. Not only that, it's a great place for you to find out how your items are authenticated, the retail price of what it would cost to get the authentication, and so much more. SpenceLOA.com. Jimmy, thank you so much for your time today.
You are
awesome, and I appreciate our friendship and our business. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you. I'm very honored to be on your show. Good luck with everything, guys.
Thank you.
With that said, we're coming up at the end of the show.
We are.
Emil, pretty cool, right?
That was awesome.
Great guy.
That was great.
And here's the funny part about it. I named my kid Beckett.
Yes.
And they're like, why'd you name him Beckett? You know, it's a competitor.
Yeah.
And so what I did was I told him that we're going to send, Jessica and I are going to send our birth certificate for Beckett that we signed and have it authenticated by JSA to do a letter.
That's amazing.
So that's pretty cool. All right, so just as a reminder, today we have the Auburn Card Show coming up in 2 weeks that True Sports Cards will be set up at. I will also want to let you know that Pete Muniz, our buyer here at True Sports Cards, is in need of cards. If you ever want to come by the shop and drop off some cards that you'd like to sell, we would love to buy them from you. Go see Pete. Call the store at 916-259-1993. Make sure he's going to be there. Pete is ready to buy your cards. We're ready to spend some money. We need cards. Come visit us at True Sports Cards. Thank you so much for tuning in today. The True Sports Card Show. For myself and Emil Fragoso, we're saying goodbye from Sacktown Sports 1140. We'll see you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
See ya.
We
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.